The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to our top stories this hour. He decided to stay open when the governor dictated that restaurants must be closed. And the reason is because he has a lot of employees and they needed a paycheck. They were all hurting. Plus, he was going to lose his business if they had to shut down for an extended period of time. So he stayed open. Well, a bunch of people ratted him out. And this is where I just don't think our state sounds like America anymore. When the government sets up these snitch hotlines so neighbors can rat out neighbors, and that's what Jay Inslee's done. And that's what happened. A bunch of people started calling the snitch line to report that one place. Well, it turns out when you call the snitch line, your call is a public record. And so the owner of that one place, he obtained a list of the people who called to rat him out. And then what he did was he posted a huge sign in his restaurant that said what the call, when the call was, what their complaint was, and then the people's who called, their name and their contact info. And Craig Candy, he told Cairo 7 News that he did it because he thinks the people of Port Orchard deserve to know who is a snitch.
If you want to tell on your neighbors, then you deserve, your neighbors deserve to know who you are, plain and simple.
Well, as you might imagine, people on that list weren't very happy. Sean Watkins and Cynthia Landry among
them. Posting a list of people's names, that's like a hit list.
Had no idea why I was getting phone calls of hate.
And so Sean explained to Cairo 7 why he reported the restaurant.
We didn't know anything about the pandemic or the virus. Hospitals were overflowing.
Hospitals were when did hospitals overflow in our state? That's simply not true. Hospitals were overflowing. They built a hospital down at the Seahawks Stadium. The U.S. Army came in, spent over $1 million at Jay Inslee's request, and then they tore it down without a single patient ever visiting. Hospitals were never overflowing. So, you know, let's be careful about, I know some people are buying into, they had to do triage on the sidewalks. Yeah, that's happening in India. It might have even happened in New York. Didn't happen in Washington. Hospitals were never overflowing. As for Cynthia, she's proud that she reported the restaurant.
God, yes, I did, and I'm proud of it.
And then she described some of the calls that she got as a result of her reporting.
Calling me a stupid, telling me that I'm full of.
And Craig Kennedy, he told Channel 7 why he kept his restaurant open.
We're only trying to take care of our own. Why do you need to call the government and tell on us?
Okay, but then on top of that, why did he post the list?
Kennedy says he has nothing to hide, and neither should the people who reported his restaurant. And that's why he put up this poster, which lists names, phone numbers, and email addresses for some of the people who filed complaints against his restaurant. All information legally obtained through a public records request.
What is it accomplishing by leaving that thing up there right now?
Entertainment.
Entertainment. He did it to be entertained, to report the people who reported him and his restaurant. And so he says, but wait a second, I wasn't encouraging. He's got a sign up next to the list of people who ratted him out. And he has a sign up saying that he doesn't want anybody to do anything to the people. And you can decide if you want to believe that.
He also put this disclaimer by the list stating, we are not advocating for any contact or retaliation.
For people that have been contacted, have been harassed.
Nobody's been harassed.
No one.
I ask you to show that, have them show you proof.
So I called one of the people who called Cynthia, a number she saved in her phone.
Yeah, here it is right here. Idiot that called about that one place.
That's when a man picked up who says he lives in Port Orchard and saw the list.
You kind of took that next step to actually call one of the people.
Yeah, because I was pissed off. Because people want to report these guys for what? Trying to help each other out? It's not like they're there to kill people.
I also showed Kennedy the message Watkins received.
This person, you're smiling. The smile on your face tells me that you don't think that's harassment, right?
You know, if you don't want to be on that list, don't turn in your neighbors.
Ah, so he hopes that it'll be a deterrent as well. And then he says that the police have gotten involved because, or they say, police have gotten involved because the owner of the restaurant went after the woman who you just heard, Cynthia, on Facebook.
That's called doxing. You know, that's a thing that people do, put up their...
Oh, this is Cynthia's son talking as well.
Other people's personal information in a retaliatory fashion.
That's when Ben retaliated himself by going to the restaurant and taking down the poster. This report by Port Orchard Police shows the incident was quickly resolved with Ben agreeing to return the list. After we left Port Orchard, the dust-up moved to Facebook, where Kennedy tracked down Cynthia Landry and then posted this picture of her on his Facebook profile. Writing, this lady is a disgusting pig. Go to her page and read the things she says.
You know that retaliation is going to happen. And if you don't know that, you're an idiot.
Okay, so he opens in defiance of Inslee. Neighbors report the restaurant. He posts a list of those reporters. Supporters of the restaurant start going after the reporters of the restaurant. The son of one of the reporters, I'm trying to keep all this straight in my head. The son of the lady who reported them went into the restaurant and tore down the poster, and on it goes. This is quite a little drama in Port Orchard. I always thought of Port Orchard as kind of a sleepy little community, But they say, the residents there say that, yeah, this is tearing the town apart.
And it doesn't get much more divisive than that.
And Craig Kennedy says he is not taking down the poster.
When does it need to come down?
I guess when it's over with. I don't know. I'm going to leave it up until the people stop crying about it.
So the owner of the restaurant, Craig Kennedy, he is going to join me at 12:30, right after the 12:30 news this afternoon. You are not going to want to miss that. I got a lot to talk to him about, but I'd be curious. Whose side are you on? The restaurant owner who opened in defiance of the governor, or we'll make this a little you be the jury, or the people who reported the restaurant being open. Shoot me a text at 98973. That's 98973. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Hey, kids, if you go to school down in Olympia, the school district says it's okay to cheat and lie. So I assume if you have a test and you want to make crib notes that you keep between your legs that you can look down at for... I assume that the Olympia School District is fine with that because they seem to be fine with lying and cheating as an official position. And that is because once they said that 12 to 15-year-olds are going to be eligible for the COVID vaccine, the Olympia School District, some parents, you can't sign up your kid yet if your kid is under 16. Because officially, right now, 16 is still the minimum age. But the Olympia School District actually sent out an email to families. And they said, hey, parents, put a temporary, phony birth year for your child that says they're 16, even if they're 12, 13, 14, 15. Put in a temporary, phony birth date for your child, and then you can make an appointment to get a vaccine for a 12 to 15-year-old. They told parents to lie on an official document, to lie about their children's age. That is how absolutely single-minded government is about getting these vaccines into kids. And again, I got the vaccine myself. I would not let a 12-year-old get the vaccine. I wouldn't. I don't fault any parents who choose to get the vaccine. But to have government tell you to lie about your child's age so you can make an appointment for that kid? King 5 talked to Miguel Lewis, who's an Olympia resident.
That seems very dirty. That seems like they're just trying to get around regulations to make sure people can get vaccinated, which is completely understandable. All of us should be getting vaccinated, but we should wait until the trials, you know, are done and they can prove the efficacy and the safety on children. That seems a little highly irresponsible, especially for them to have to put out a correction the next day. They definitely didn't think about that.
Yeah, the next day, they said, after the parents were outraged, they said, you're telling us to lie about our child's birth date? The Olympia School District is telling us to lie? And then they sent out a statement and said, it was a mistake to encourage families to temporarily alter the birth year. And it was a poorly thought out temporary solution. And we regret the communication. So kids, lie, cheat. And then if you're caught, just say, I regret that. And nothing will happen to you. Because the Olympia School District is telling people to lie and cheat as an official district policy. It's unbelievable. But what we're seeing in the schools, if you were listening yesterday in my 2 o'clock hour, I read a long email thread between a listener and the Puyallup School superintendent and school board. A couple of months ago, when there were those shootings at the massage parlors in Atlanta, the Puyallup School superintendent sent out an email to everybody in the district, talking about the shooting and how horrible it was and how there's no place for hate and, you know, anti-Asian hate crimes are unacceptable. Even though the police who interrogated the guy said there was no racial motivation and he shot non-Asians as well. And his motivation was he's a sex addict. And in his twisted, sick mind, he wanted to just eliminate the source of the compulsion of his sex addiction. But the Puyallup superintendent sent out that email. A few days later, when a Syrian guy in Colorado murdered 10 white people, did the Puyallup superintendent send out a message about that? No. And so my listener emailed him and said, how do you decide what you're going to spend school district time and money and resources on? You said there was an anti-Asian crime. What about the anti-white hate crime by the Syrian guy in Colorado? And the superintendent said, well, I probably should have mentioned that. And then 2 weeks ago, when Motion Church in Puyallup was going to have Charlie Kirk as a guest speaker, the radical left-wing groups like Antifa and BLM, they got involved. And Antifa said, we're going to burn the church down. And they sent messages. We got your kids' home addresses. We're going to burn their houses down. The FBI got involved. And Motion Church decided to cancel the event because of the tyranny of the radical left. Now, a lot of Puyallup school kids go to Motion Church. Did the superintendent or the school board condemn that like they did a shooting in Atlanta? No, They don't tolerate hate if it's anti-Asian, nor should any of us. But if it's anti-white in Colorado, they're silent. If it's anti-Christian in Puyallup in an incident that involves the kids who go to the Puyallup schools, do they condemn that? No. The superintendent and the school board in Puyallup will not condemn hate from the left. And I don't know if their silence means that they support hate from the left, but they will not condemn it, even if it involves Puyallup school children. And this is what we're getting. And I mentioned yesterday, I knew some people who were on the Puyallup school board, and they were good people. I mean, their motives were pure. But now we have a bunch of people who just want their left-wing radicalism to run the schools. And so that's what you have now in Puyallup. They condemn what police said wasn't a hate crime in Atlanta, but they refuse to condemn left-wing hatred that affects Puyallup children. It's really unbelievable. But we've got some radicals in charge of our schools. Olympia telling parents to lie. Puyallup won't condemn radical left-wing hatred. It's been really interesting to watch. Over in Bellevue, the superintendent announced resignation yesterday. I had talked to parents the last several months who were very upset with the Bellevue schools. Bellevue schools used to be a national leader. They were revered. But Dr. Ivan Duran had gotten the contempt of parents. He refused to be on the side of families that wanted their kids back in school. You had people who have said any person who wants their child back in school is a racist. And the superintendent wouldn't condemn the union or teachers who called people racist because they wanted the schools open. And so Dr. Duran, under tremendous pressure from the parents and families, he announced his resignation last night. Our schools are in chaos, and they're all in chaos for the exact same reason. And I told you this was coming. I told you that they were going to go after cops. I'm talking about Antifa and the radical left. They were going to go after cops, and I told you a year ago, the next target is going to be the schools. And they are now infiltrating the schools. They're doing nothing but propaganda. They're teaching children to lie on public documents. And this is the next step in the all-out assault on what decency we had in this region. And whether it's Bellingham with their school scandal that I told you about last week, the school board president owns an all-ages sex shop. You got Bellevue School forcing a resignation, Olympia telling families to lie. Puyallup won't condemn hatred against children in the Puyallup schools if it comes from the left. The infiltration by the left of our institutions. They got the police. They're coming after your kids next. And that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Check the news, and then I'll talk with that Port Orchard restaurant owner. That is coming up next. Do not go anywhere. The Dory Monson Show continues. Well, as you've heard over the last year, I don't have much patience for government asking citizens to snitch on other citizens. A bunch of businesses stayed open in defiance of the governor's order because, for a variety of reasons. Some because their employees couldn't pay their rent, didn't know how they were going to put food on the table that Friday night. And there are a variety of reasons. Down in Port Orchard, there is a little cafe called That One Place, and this story has ramped up to a whole new level. The owner is Craig Kennedy. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Craig, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Nice to be here.
Okay, so let's go through this from the start. You decided to stay open in defiance of the governor's orders. Tell me why.
So what kind of started the ball rolling was we held a Halloween trunk or treat, and we had over 3,000 people attend this event, and we got turned into the liquor board over it. So the wife and I had been in conversation a lot about opening anyways because we were starting to struggle to pay our bills, and my employees, they couldn't make any money off of just being takeout only.
Yeah.
I have 45 staff members, and so for our sales to be cut like that, it's just impossible for them. So we have a crew chat, and we brought it up with our staff and asked what they thought, and everybody wanted to work. They were all 100% in. Then one of them went to her other full-time job, and they told her that she could not work there if she stayed with us, so she took a leave of absence, but I'm sure she'll be back. She's worked for me for a long time.
So. Okay. So, and that's what I've heard from so many people, that the motivation isn't that you just wanted to be defiant, but you have a lot of families that you're responsible for, and most great employers, they treat their employees like family. And so to me, that's been the common theme from everybody I've talked to who decided to stay open. It's just caring about, you know, either your employees or you being able to keep your business viable.
Yes, you're right. With as many staff members as we have and the diversity in our staff, we're known as a second chance employer. So the majority of our back of the house and even a couple of my managers all come from work release, or they are in some kind of a recovery program. So you can imagine somebody that's in recovery, some of them just a month or two into recovery, cannot sit at home and collect a paycheck off the government and not relapse. So then we're talking about what could be actual people's lives at stake here.
Good for you for who you know, get as employees. I talk about this all the time, that our approach should be to help those who have suffered addiction problems to get their lives back. And they do that not by sitting on the government payroll, but by getting their own jobs. Okay, so you're open, and all of a sudden, the government, Jay Inslee, set up a snitch line where people could call and rat out their neighbors who are open in defiance of the governor. Do you know how many people reported your business?
Well, Cairo, I believe, said 260.
Wow.
A lot of them, I believe, were anonymous, because the snitch list I have only has a hand, maybe 25.
Okay. Okay, and so you decided to fight back. So tell me what you did with the people you could identify, because reporting you is a public record, and so you obtained that public record, and what'd you do with it?
We hung it on our wall. Actually, when we first got it, we had makeshift barn doors to meet Jay Inslee's requirements, and we posted one on the outside of the barn door, so anybody driving by could see. And then we posted one right in our entryway, which is still up there, although it's in a different spot than where it started from.
So why did you do that? And what was your motivation? Because Cairo 7 talked to a couple of people on that list, and they said that they had been getting threatening, hateful calls and messages. What was your motivation for putting those names up?
The only motivation is that I feel if they're going to call and complain about us, then their neighbors deserve to know. We all in our small community deserve to know who we can trust or not. And that's what started it. We felt that it was the right thing. I do have that list, by the way, or access to that list for the entire state.
So you want to let the people of Port Orchard know who is ratting you out. But they say that now they are getting threats because of this. And yeah, I watched the Cairo 7 piece, and you didn't seem to be too bothered by that, Craig.
No, but they did cut some other stuff out. They cut out, and again, the full interview we live streamed on our Facebook page. So if you watch that, you can see it. But he showed us his sources on his cell phone and asked what I thought about it. And so I kind of chuckled about that, just because how do you out your sources? You know, I thought that was, for a journalist, that was kind of a note, nothing to do. But anyways, so they kind of cut and pasted that for me to kind of look like I was happier than I think I was actually portraying. Although part of the thing I said to him was I wouldn't be inclined to believe that. And I think I chuckled then, unless you actually saw that, because it's awfully easy for somebody to say, oh, well, I got a threatening phone call from this number, and this is the owner of the restaurant's phone number, when it's not. So if you don't check that, it's easy. So according to him, I guess.
Okay, no, I understand that, but you said you didn't believe that the snitches were actually getting threats after you posted their name and contacts. But then Cairo 7 talked to a guy who called one of the people who reported on you, and he admitted that he called because he was ticked off that somebody would snitch on you. So they are getting threats. I mean, it sounds like that's been legitimized.
That one seems legitimate. One of the people that's claiming that is just the lady that he interviewed there. She definitely did not. She's just been in our community, somebody that is really tried to slander me and talk badly about me. She's threatened my daughter that, or she hasn't threatened her, but she called her a crackhead. And my daughter's not a crackhead. She got her AA at 17. But anyway, she's attacked my staff, calling them QAnon members and my customers QAnon members. And so we know that it's not her. Plus, on his phone, he showed me the people that outed him. And one of them was a local restaurant owner, along with the gentleman that he talked to.
Okay. So, well, and that woman's that you're referring to, her son went into your restaurant and tore down the names and lists that you had posted. Is that right?
Yes, sir. He pulled up and left his car running at the front door, came in and screamed a bunch of swear words at my manager and grabbed it and ran out to his car and took off.
Okay. And so is it gone forever, or did you put it back up?
We put a new one back up, but the police also brought the other one back. So they went to the people's house, trespassed them, and then brought it back.
This is an interesting one. I'll be curious with my listeners. I'm going to ask them to text in because I don't like this ratting out your neighbors. This doesn't sound like America when government is telling people to call a government hotline so that they can report somebody who's violating a government edict that is of questionable constitutionality. But I know that nobody likes doxing people, and I'll be interested to hear what my listeners think. But it sounds like you're getting a lot of support down there.
We are. And I want to add real quick before I move on at all that we have a notice up with that snitch list that says we do not want any retaliation. We don't wish any harm on these people.
Right.
So our stance is voted right or posted right there. How we feel about it, that it's information purpose. So,
yeah.
So I got to get that out, Greg, for legal purposes.
I know, I understand, but come on. I mean, you can post that for legal purposes, but you know what the ramifications are going to be of you posting it, and it probably is going to be people lashing out at them. I mean, it just strikes me funny because I think you know that what you're saying is not the reality of what's happening.
Well, you know, I can say that any of the customers I know would never do that.
Okay. Finally, the state is fining you for, I've talked to a couple of restaurants owners. One guy's been in business for 50 years down in Chehalis. His fines are about $150,000. And Ellen I said he missed the appeal window, and they're coming after this guy. An 80-year-old guy who's run a restaurant for 50 years, and they're coming after him for $150,000. How much are your fines up to?
$132,000.
What are you going to do with that?
Well, so far we've ignored it. Jesse Young, our state rep, has a power of attorney to deal with them. I don't know how much you want to hear, but it's basically all $132,000 of their fine is completely their fault and a violation of the judge's direct order to them to help us get open in the open air policy, to work with us over a week to make sure we're opened. And they just ignored us, and we have proof.
All right. Well, keep me posted on that because I know how devastating a six-figure fine would be. But, like I said, there's an interesting story. I don't think you guys should have been shut down in the first place. I think customers should have the freedom, the right to decide what level of risk they want to assume. They could go there or they could not go there. And I also think this snitch government hotline is it doesn't sound like America to me. So I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story with me, Craig.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Keep me posted on how things develop, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Okay. All right. That's Craig Candy. He's the owner of That One Place in Port Orchard. And like I said, I want to know what you think. Text me, 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, we got a lot of stuff cooking for the rest of the afternoon. I'll share some of your feedback on the restaurant guy in Port Orchard. I'm getting an awful lot of feedback, as you might imagine. I've told you that this is going to be the cruelest of summers because of how people are being punished for the most innocent of things. I'll give you an example. Three college girls who go to the University of Massachusetts, they have been suspended because they took a picture of the three of them without masks at an off-campus party. I don't know how any of this stuff is constitutional, but the girls were unmasked off campus, and the university has now suspended all three of those girls, which, as their parents said, it is a draconian punishment. It is complete overkill what we are doing to people. The party was on a Saturday. They took the picture. Another student screenshotted it on Instagram, and that got them kicked out of school. Not only that, but at UMass, the cost for one semester tuition is $16,000, so $32,000 for two semesters a year. The school has told the girls and their parents that they will not get their $16,000 tuition refunded. That is part of the punishment. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, this is all absolutely insane. And it has to be unconstitutional that a public university can impose on your life off campus and tell you what you can and cannot do. And then I'll give you another example of the cruelty of this summer. And I say all that because, as you know, I've come up with a brand new theme song for the summer of 21. For a couple of reasons. One, I really do believe that this is going to be a very cruel summer. And number two, I realized I don't play nearly enough Bananarama on the big show. And so that's my theme for the summer. I'll give you another example. A softball team, college softball team, they took a picture on Cinco de Mayo of 10 girls on the team. The five who were kneeling are all wearing sombreros, and then the five girls standing in the back row are not. Well, they have now been punished for wearing sombreros. The school says that they're trying to decide on what the punishment is, but they said that some people complained because it was cultural appropriation. Now, I've said it before, and I will say it again right now, that I don't think anybody was hurt by college softball players wearing a sombrero. Nobody's feelings were hurt, not for real. And people pretend it because everyone wants to be a victim. And this is what government's trying to create, victims everywhere. But I'll tell you something. There used to be a little restaurant out in Linwood called Chevy's. And my wife and I used to love taking the girls there. They loved it. And you'd get a sombrero, you'd get crayons, you'd color on the paper tablecloth. My girls weren't being racist. They weren't culturally appropriating anything. But in a country that's gone insane, expect much more of that nonsense in our cruel summer. Check the news for you, and then Fastest 15 coming up next on the Dory Monson Show.